This is Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous, In Depth.
Ashley, I love you.
Because I'm eating.
You're just living your truth every moment of every day, and I just love it so much.
The video the other day, Ash, where Jared posts and of you just farting away on the couch really got me.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
I don't care about anything. Maybe I should care more.
Oh, that's so cute. Ben, oh my gosh, congratulations face to face. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thanks, Caitlin. Good to see you.
So good to see you.
You're in LA.
Yeah, I just got in yesterday. I literally landed. I had my last Nashville show for podcasting, and then wanted to say thank you to everyone who had helped me. So I took everybody out and I had to dip early because I was like, I got to get up at 5 and go dance for the whole day. So I landed yesterday and went straight to the dance studio and just like got my ass kicked.
Okay, so you're in LA right now. I mean, Caitlin, I'm like stressed by how much you have to travel. And especially since I read that recently you felt like you had to talk yourself out of a panic attack on a 5-hour flight. So That's never fun. My sister has been going through something where she's been having a lot of panic attacks, and especially they hit on flights and you get so claustrophobic and you have like nowhere to turn. I mean, how are you keeping up with this travel schedule of yours? And you know what's funny? Remember like a year ago on our show, you were or like everywhere. Like you told everybody, you were like, this is the year that I'm going to relax now.
No, because I love
dancing with the stars and I can't do anything else.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a really, really cute joke I made on your show. I honestly have to take everything day by day. It's crazy. I always am so open about, because usually when I go through my, hormones, it's like clockwork every month for me that I'm going to get depressed, that I'm going to get anxious. And if I add all the things I have going on, if I don't just like take it day by day or sometimes hour by hour, it really just piles up. And that's what I had to do just like to get on that plane yesterday to come to LA. I was like, oh no, this feels like one of those times where I'm like, I could easily panic or I could easily go into like a really bad place because I have so much going on and I'm so tired and I was coming off of getting sick. And I honestly just had to like have a little like check in with myself. I made sure I bring peppermint oils with me on the plane. I have like my headset where I listen to a flight meditation. I'm sure I'm just like set up for success now on a plane in case I feel that way. And it's tricky, but yeah, I felt that way. And then, you know, I actually ended up dancing for 5 hours yesterday with anxiety, which I don't know how I did that, but it's like, I came home and I needed to decorate my hotel room with Christmas decorations just to make myself feel better.
Wait, that's so cute. We're watching her right now. She's got blue Christmas lights going around the canopy of her bed. So is it at least predictable with your cycle?
Yes, it's extremely, like I said, clockwork. I write it down. I have an app. I track everything. I can literally, I've got it down to a science of like when I'm going to feel this way. And I'm so happy doing what I'm doing that it like almost balances out, because it's not like I'm doing things where I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I putting myself in these situations? Why am I overworking myself? I get into that dance studio and I'm like, how lucky am I right now? Like, this is a dream come true. And it helps because I'm just so happy to be there.
So, I mean, because this is a great topic because so many, even coming off of the last couple of years, like, how do you typically process through this then? I mean, because Caitlin, your life hasn't slowed down. And then as you said, so I'm an introvert. And something for me, and I've been in this where you're on a flight, you've been gone from home for 3 weeks. Every place you go has a new demand and a new kind of mind switch you have to get to. You get tired. It feels like things pile up. And then, like you said, then last night, people are wanting to take you out to dinner or take you out to party, which is great because they love you and they want to celebrate you. But it's one more thing. And so how are you keeping yourself from like going into the extreme and crashing and burning here?
I have learned to say no. I mean, I have to prioritize my health. I know what that feels like to get on a plane. And if I'm hungover and have anxiety, it is game over for me. So I need to like prioritize my mental health, know what, like sleep, I function on sleep. So I know I need to get 8 hours. last night when I was done, some people were like going to dinner. I want to see Tayshia because we've been to see each other. And I'm like, I have to put myself first and say, no, I'm going to go get my room calm and cozy and light a candle. And I'm going to try and sleep for like as many hours as I can to just like recharge my batteries. Because I, weirdly enough, I am an introvert and an extrovert, and I love being alone and I love having the time to myself. And I kind of have both in me. Yeah. And so I need to know when I'm like having the energy to be an extrovert and when I don't and need to recharge my batteries. Cause I'm just like it's one or the other.
Now you said that it can affect your relationship with Jason a lot of the times because he has to deal with these moods of yours. Yeah. What has been an example, just because like we like to get into the dirt here, like of a really bad fight you've had, but you knew it was just because of the like the state that you were in that week?
Oh, that's a really, that's the scary part is I don't even know if it was something specific. Like, I don't know if I can pinpoint like, oh, this was what the fight was over. But Jason and I are actually really good fighters. That sounds silly. When we fight, it's like, I am emotional and I do react with emotion. And I always say he reacts with logic, but like he's actually tapped into his more emotional side, which is nice because then he can understand more where I'm coming from instead of just being like, I need to fix this. What do I need to do? You're being like unreasonable. He's like, okay, is it like at a time where you're feeling anxiety? Like, how could I help? And then we'll like get to the root of the issue. And so it's not always like that, but when I am really like in a low place of anxiety, I think he just knows to not take things personal. And that's also something that I need to work on. I just like bark things when I'm in a mood and I'm just like I'll just snap back and I'll be like, Caitlin, it's stronger than me. It's stronger than me. And I think he knows that. And there's just a lot of forgiveness in that time of the month, but I'm trying to think of a specific fight. I think it was like more, I know what it is. So Jason doesn't like if he feels like someone is demanding from him. Like he's totally fine. If I asked him politely to do something, he would do it in a second. If I seem demanding, he's going to bark back at me and it's going to turn into something that was absolutely nothing because he doesn't like feeling that way. And I feel like that's what was our probably last big fight.
That makes sense. Well, Caitlin, we just mentioned, and thank you for sharing all that.
Well, also, Ben, you're so cute because I just like went on a rant there and I don't even know if I was making sense. And I went on for so long. And you're like, that makes perfect sense. I'm like, it does
make sense. You made sense. You're good at this. You're good at talking, Caitlin. It's a gift that you have. Surprise of the world. Talking about things that you're up to. We're going to get through a lot of them here, in this time that we have with you, but Dance with the Stars live tour 2022 is something you're going to participate in. Tickets are on sale now. To purchase tickets and get the full list of tour dates, please visit dwtstour.com. VIP packages, giving fans a chance to purchase premium tickets, pre-show cast, question and answer passes, exclusive merchandise and photo opportunities will be available through dancewiththestarstour.com.
No, that was really good. I thought I was going to have to say all that, but you just, thank you.
Yeah, gotcha. I got you there.
Caitlin, with the Dancing with the Stars tour coming off of your Off the Vine tour, have you ever like thought, I'm just going to say no, like I'm just not going to do it? Or are you like very excited every time?
Oh, it's such a good question. There are times where I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I'm going to be an actual wreck and I've got too much going on. My body is like shutting down on me. But like with dancing, it's so different for me because this is genuinely something I like that made me happy my whole life. Dancing was something that helped I had OCD when I was little to the max. It was nuts. It helped me with OCD. It helped me with anxiety. It helped me with my parents' divorce. It helped me go through so many things in my life because I truly loved to do it. And when I kind of got to a point in my career of dance where I was like, I'm really not good enough. Like it's only so much to love what you do, but I'm really not at the level where I can do this as a career. So for me to actually go back and be able to go on Dancing with the Stars win the mirror ball. I thought that was, I was like, okay, there you go. Prove to myself, I am good enough. I'm a dancer. And I thought I would never be able to dance again. So when they brought up an opportunity of tour, I'm like, this is literally what 12-year-old Caitlin was working towards in her whole life, was going to be on a tour bus and dance in front of crowds with a bunch of professional dancers. And there's no way in hell I could say no to that. And although I'm going to be so tired and I hate that I have to be away from Jason and the dogs for this long, I'm going to look back on this and like, it's just going to be the most rewarding thing in the world to me.
I was going to say, like, if you were going to ever say no to anything, it just could not be this one.
Exactly. Like if they were like, Caitlin, do you want to take over Ellen DeGeneres show? I'd be like, I might have to take a knee. I am tired. Dancing. Absolutely.
Oh man, I can't wait till next year we talk to you again. We're like, hey, remember you said you're not going to do the talk show? Well, joke's on you.
Oh my God, there's an opening at Ellen. So it's like an actual possibility.
There you go.
Well, the good news is I don't think I am qualified for the Ellen position. She could like bring in like Ryan Reynolds to take over. They're not, that's a level A Canadian. I'm like down on the D level.
No, I don't think you're on D.
Speaking of not feeling qualified, you did just finish your podcast tour. We're going to talk about that. You are getting ready to jump into Dancing with the Stars. The last few weeks of this season of The Bachelorette are airing right now. So you're finishing your second full season as the host of co-host of The Bachelorette. Was it difficult for you at all at any point? Did you feel prepared for this?
No, I didn't feel prepared for that role in any way, shape, or form. I, of course, love hosting. I do it on my podcast every day, but that's like me being me and it's my platform and I'm able to just, you know, talk about anything. I mean, anything on there and it'll go. Stepping into a role where you are responsible to carry a show and be a professional and read a teleprompter and be able to, you know, deliver these like iconic lines that don't belong to you. I felt so scared. One, because I didn't know what my role was going to be when we first went into it. I was like, oh, we're just going to mentor, show up for a couple dates. Like I'll probably get to go home in the middle of it, come back, like maybe be there for the finale. I don't know. I didn't know I was going to be handing out a final rose. I didn't know I was going to be hosting up there on stage for the men tell all. Like we had no idea what we were doing. So going into the second season, I did feel a little more prepared, but again, I have this like imposter syndrome where I feel like the fraud police are going to be called and I'm going to go like, somebody's going to be like, you can't do this role. This is not your role. And like, you know, and the internet has their things that they are going to say about it that might even convince me. I'm like, do I deserve to be here? Because it is such an important, huge, iconic role that's been, you know, with Chris Harrison has been that face for so long. And so I definitely get imposter syndrome, but I also love doing it so much. And it's something that I feel like, you know, every year I want to do, I want to try and be better at everything that I do and to step into a role like that. And I'm trying to think of it as like, it's just a different perspective. It's, I'm not trying to be Chris Harrison. I'm not trying to be like that host. I'm trying to just be Caitlin that has knowledge and insight and a different perspective to help the Bachelorette just thrive in her role.
Well, I do want to ask a follow-up question to that though. Tell us more about this. So I mean, Caitlin, your resume over the last 5 years is as impressive as anybody's in entertainment. You're the Bachelorette. You have, a top 10 podcast. You've received so many accolades for that. You step in then to Dance with the Stars. You win the mirror ball. You leave Dancing with the Stars, you become the co-host of The Bachelorette for 2 seasons, successfully doing it well, stepping into that role. Now you're going to go on tour. You just finished another podcast tour. I mean, Caitlin, you've got engaged, but I'm talking entertainment, yet you still speak to this imposter syndrome. Can you tell us more about that?
I know. I always do that. I always dive into this with my friends in Nashville who are country singers, where they are like the best of the best, so talented. They've been singing their whole life and they get up there on stage and think like, well, why me? And how did I get here? And like, they have those thoughts. And I'm like, but what, you were literally born to do this. And that's what they say to me. They're like, you were born to do this. And I always have to think back, like, to when I was little. I would walk around and I would want to host and interview people all the time. I was little. It was like something that I loved to do. I loved getting to know people. I loved interviewing them. I loved being interviewed. I thought it was just so much fun. And so I'm trying to remind myself, like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I need to stop having the imposter syndrome, because I would not wish that on anyone. And I have so many listeners from the podcast or people who reach out on Instagram where they're so afraid to go after what they want to do because they don't think they would succeed or they aren't good enough. And, you know, I've been there, I felt that as a dancer, but I think, you know, it's just that saying of like, you would have so much more regret. And what's worse, if you go do something that you're going to step outside your comfort zone or take a big opportunity or leap and do something that you love to do, wouldn't you rather quote unquote fail, which only means you're going to grow from it? Or would you rather have a regret? And so I just keep telling myself that over and over, like, just like, of course, somebody's always going to be more qualified for the job or better than you in certain ways, but you're going to be where you are for a reason. And you have to just like marinate in that and be like, I'm here and I'm doing this right now. And if I fail, or if it doesn't work out, or say the bachelor doesn't want me anymore, I did it. I tried. I learned. I grew so much from that experience. And you got to take that and go to the next thing.
I love that, because regret is like one of the worst feelings that you can almost always avoid having.
Yes. So true.
Okay. Let's get into like a little bit of the bachelor relationships right now. You watched Katie and Blake get engaged, and like, let's be honest, now that they broke up, did you really feel like that was gonna be a long-term thing? Because watching that finale, I didn't feel it.
Okay, I don't know, because I agree, watching the finale, I was like, the way it happened to get there didn't feel right, because you're like, oh, did she really want Blake, or did people drop out and then that's who she ended up with?
Blake but didn't seem to want to propose.
Yeah. And it kind of felt like a joke almost to that. Like, it was kind of like he was like, I effing love you. And she's like, I effing love you. Yeah. And then it was like he was going to tease her, like, maybe I won't propose and maybe I will. It was like keeping her on her toes. And I was like, that doesn't feel romantic. But I will say that knowing Katie and hanging out with her after, like, they were solid and they were so good. And I was actually like, they could work. I don't know what the heck happened. I still like, I've wanted to just sit down and talk to her for so long, but I mean, we're both busy, but I still don't know what happened. Cause I really thought, okay, it's going to be challenging for them with him gone and, you know, going to different places, and she's in Seattle and then she's moving and she's always out and about. And he was, you know, really passionate about what he was doing. And I was like, that's going to be really tricky. I've done long distance before, but you know what? I actually thought they would make work. Hmm. I was wrong.
The couple other relationships in Bachelor Nation, obviously, we're in the midst of Michelle's season right now. This group of guys seem to be a great group of guys. You're there in person around them. First question is, how much interaction did you actually get to have with these guys during this season?
Yeah, not a ton. I mean, again, you want to keep it professional. So you want, because when we come in for these moments, like, it's so serious. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a hard time because I always smile when I talk. And so in these moments, I have to remember, like, these people's emotions are so invested and this is real. Obviously we've all been there and we know how real it is. And so you want to keep it. So, you know, I'm not just shooting this with, you know, Nate or something and then have to go in and he's like, oh, there's Caitlin. Like, you want it to be real and serious. And like, I want Michelle to get to know them the best. Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, have my opinion of them jade hers or get in the way of anything. So our interaction is very little. We, you know, if we pass by in the hallway, hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. But not a lot, because we really want Michelle to form her own relationships and opinions. And I'm such a loudmouth, and you know me, I could talk for hours to a wall. And if I knew anything about these guys too much, I would want to just tell her everything.
So are you able to get, like, do you feel like you're able to get a reasonable judge of character on these guys then through the process? Or are you that like that much separated where you're kind of like, hey, I'm just letting Michelle fill me in when she wants to fill me in, and I'll get a little updates here and there.
It's kind of a mixture of both, because obviously when we're on the date, we really see them and how they interact, and they'll talk to us and we're part of the date. So that's different. And you can really get a good read of character on the dates, because you're seeing also when the cameras just aren't on them, and when like you're just there watching and getting a judge of character for all of these guys. But other than that, we do let Michelle. I mean, that's one of the most difficult parts for me being in this position is wanting to just be such a good friend and be like, hey, send that guy home. I know too much. So you really have to like keep it, you know, I guess separate and let her figure things out. But you do get a good judge of character for sure.
So then going into the finale with Brendan and Nate, did you expect those two to be there? Did you expect Joe to be eliminated this week? And was there one that you were rooting for harder than the other?
Honestly, I was shocked that Joe went home, because we saw that like connection where she used the word soulmate, and she really like, it was a slow buildup, but they got there. It wasn't like they didn't get there. And the way she was telling him, like, I could see you. I could really see this working for us, and I'm falling for you. And that soulmate material, like, I was really surprised, because again, we chatted on that beach and I was like, this is going to be one of the hardest things for her, even though she's just so confident in her decisions. And when she makes them, she's like, I'm solid. But I was like, I would be a wreck, because she genuinely like loved all three of these guys. And Joe, to me, I thought was almost in my mind, I'm like, was he the one that got away? Because they were pretty special together.
Okay, so I'm not sure what happens in the end and whatnot, but when Joe was eliminated.
Wait, time out. Kaylin, just tell me that you can really tell that Ashley's very excited about this topic, because all of a sudden her arms start waving. She starts talking faster. She's so excited to bring you this question. I just want to.
I'm so excited.
It's more of a comment, but like, I just watched that exit and I thought like, okay, this actually may not be over. This might be one of those situations where she goes back to Joe at the end of all this. And maybe not immediately. I'm not saying like on the finale, but like down the road, especially since they're from the same place. It was okay. When I left Paradise the first time, my sister was down there for the first like couple days. So she knew that Jared and I definitely like there was like something about him. And so when I got on the phone with her in the car, when I was eliminated, or like when I was, you know, we all decided that it was time for me to go home. She was like, I don't think this is over. And that's kind of what I felt like with Joe and Michelle.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to say anything. Okay. but I too was like, I don't know. Here's my worry is, she had such strong connections with the three guys so hard that I'm like, in whatever decision she makes, I hope she feels solid in that decision, because all three of those guys seemed right for her.
Isn't it weird how that happens? Just people, it's crazy how you can like fall for more than one person at one time. It's weird.
Remember when you just got absolutely on just for doing crushed. That and now we're all doing it.
Yeah, we're all doing it. We're all doing it, Kaylin.
We're all doing it now.
Oh my God. Okay, that made me think about Clayton, because we all know that Clayton is he's saying it or something to three girls. How did you like Clayton? And do you know why they picked him to be the Bachelor? Because you've actually met him, because we're still a little confused.
Have you guys not met him yet?
No.
Oh, okay. So I really like Clayton. I don't think we got to see enough of him on Michelle's season. And that was very confusing, because if you're going to make him the next Bachelor, we want to know why. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't think they showed enough. I do remember him And I remember going into the rooms at certain times to like drop off a date card or see how the guys were feeling. And he was always one that really spoke up about his emotions and his feelings. And he was just very in tune with himself. And he was very open about his insecurities. And he just seems like a very passionate guy with a really big heart. And so other options I would have gone for. Yeah, for sure. But I do think Clayton's season is going to be incredible, but you know, a lot of times it's the women that can really pull the show too. And I think he's got some like entertaining ones in there. So, I don't know. I am rooting for him because he does seem like such a good human. But yeah, that I got very triggered when he's like, I was intimate with more than one. I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
Gosh, oh, dang no. It. Hate it when that happens. hate it when that happens.
Caitlin 2.0.
Well, Caitlin, the last few minutes we have with you, I do have, because you've now been involved, you were the Bachelorette during my time on the show. And for that, I've always been very happy and thankful. And I remember you and I once having a conversation. I believe it was the night in the fantasy suite, and you just said, hey, life changes a lot for like when you're the Bachelorette. Like when you're on the cast, it's crazy, and like get a couple phone calls, you've been on a couple podcast interviews, then you become the Bachelorette. And like, right. I remember just being like, you're just saying like, I don't know how I'm gonna handle this. And then I became the Bachelor, not knowing, and like really related with that. Like, hey, I have no clue what to do here. So the question I want to ask is, as you've walked through these stages, how has the show evolved now that you are hosting it? You have seen the ins and outs. You've interacted with the fans. How's the show evolved since you started it and now that you're hosting it?
Oh, my gosh. And I've seen it evolve in crazy, crazy ways, whether that's talking about biracial relationships, mental health, suicide, eating disorders, putting more people of color on the show, talking more about like women empowerment. Like so many things have changed on the show since I was on it. And it's really crazy because you do like, obviously actors and actresses, like they work towards roles. Mm-hmm. We don't work towards this role. We get thrown into it overnight. Don't know what the heck TV is about, editing, getting mic'd up. Like we don't know anything. We're so naive. And then we kind of get chewed up and spit out. And it's such a weird world to navigate. And I've gone through phases with the show where I, you know, didn't support it, or I didn't know what I wanted to do with it, or if I wanted to remove myself. And there's so many different feelings that have gone on between myself and the show, but we're in a good place now. But I will say, just thinking about even like the slut shaming and the just shame I felt being intimate with more than one person on the show and as a woman, and now we're celebrating that almost, you know. I don't know how it's going to go for Clayton. I'm here if he needs to talk through anything, but you know, Hannah Brown was celebrated for having sex 4 times in a windmill. And some people were like, does that bother you that like you didn't get that? I'm like, no, if I opened up any doors for that to be talked about and celebrated, I'm so happy. But I mean, that show has evolved in so many important ways, whether, like I said, just putting, you know, even just shapes, sizes, and colors being like represented on the show. And I love that they're talking about mental health. That was never, you know, like we never talked about that on the show before, not to this extent anyways. So I'm really proud to be a part of it and where it's at right now.
Before you leave, we have to talk a little wedding planning. So let's do a speed round.
Help me.
Okay. All right. So speed round. Who would choreograph your first dance from Dancing with the Stars if you had to pick one person?
Artem Chigvintsev.
Okay, that's kind of obvious. Yeah. Will your first dance be elaborate like that?
I kind of want it to. Like, that would be so me. Like, just do this grand waltz.
Yes.
I actually do. I really want to do that. Yeah.
Cool.
Poor Jason. What is...
No, I think that's awesome.
He loves it.
What's one thing that you and Jason disagree on when it comes to wedding? I think I know what it is. Is it cost?
Your budget, for sure.
Yeah.
Mr. Finance over there. Gosh.
Okay. Do you see the wedding being in 2022 or 2023?
2022.
Okay. Ben, do you have any?
What would be your ideal dinner for all the guests?
Oh my gosh, that's actually something I'm panicking about because, like, you've got my mom who's deathly allergic to garlic. My stepdad's allergic to shellfish. I'm like, it's everybody's got something with food, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, and that stresses me out. The food stresses me out.
Okay, final question for you. Take wine out of the consideration. It cannot be used here. What is your cocktail of choice, wedding day and wedding night?
Ooh, like a French 75.
A what?
A what?
You know what a French 75 is?
No.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so like European. Okay, so it's champagne with a little bit of gin and I better look this up. Lime juice and lemon, I'm looking this up. French 75.
I've never heard of it. Caitlin, okay. You are educating lemon me. Juice. Lemon juice.
That's okay. It's French 75 is a cocktail made from gin, champagne, lemon juice, and sugar. It's also called the 75 cocktail. It dates to World War I.
There we go.
A bar in Paris. It's very like, it's super chic.
Hey, that kind of goes with your Gatsby theme because I know that you guys are still kind of stuck on that.
I'm so stuck on it. And I love like just nice champagne. Mm.
There you go, Caitlin. Okay.
We could talk to you for hours.
We could.
I can talk to you guys too.
We could. Caitlin, again, before you go, you just finished your tour of Off the Vine. For your Off the Vine podcast, it was wildly successful. Congratulations on that. We will be able to watch you if you're a fan of Caitlin. Or a fan of anything that Caitlin does, you can go and visit online at dancewiththestars.com. It's actually dwtstour.com. You can get tickets to the Dancing with the Stars live tour 2020. Caitlin Bristow will be there. It's going to be great. Caitlin, anything to add that we've missed about the tour?
It's going to be so much fun. I'm like, and I want everybody to follow along on Instagram because I'm going to be living that tour bus life and there's going to be some shenanigans that go down and I'm like a prankster and people are going to be annoyed with me. But I do want to say before I go, Ashley, you look beautiful and I'm so happy for you. And I just can't wait to meet this baby. And congrats on the lounge. Why am I blanking on the name? It starts with a name.
Audrey's. It's Audrey's. My mom's name. But we need to get Spade and Sparrows there. And we've been a little bit in touch with your person there, but we got to get in touch more so.
Okay. I am so down. And Ben, congratulations. Tell Jess I say hi. She looked absolutely stunning on your wedding day. And it was just, I'm so sad I couldn't be there.
Hey, I totally get it. Thank you for that. What the wedding day, I will tell you, Caitlin, is everything I hoped it would be. It's incredible. It's fun. Soak it in. Enjoy it. And finally, if you need any tour bus tips, I just got off the tour bus last year for the live.
Tell me everything.
Well, don't take a poop on the bus. That ruins everything for everybody.
I heard that.
And get really used to taking like Dramamine because trying to sleep while you're driving down the road is not as easy as you would think.
Oh, see, I thought it would be like soothing.
No. Just wait till you hit a little bump and you bounce 3 inches off your bed. It ain't great, Caitlin. But hey, it's a blast. It's so much fun. I did it with Ezra Sosa, who was on Dancing with the Stars this year.
He's amazing.
Yeah, so he every night, Caitlin, would do a little dance number for us in the living room of the bus when we got off and it was spectacular. Like, those memories are the best. So have fun. We love you, Caitlin. Keep up the good work.
Love you guys.
Talk to you soon.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you for having me.
See you, Caitlin.
Of course. Anytime.
Bye.
Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.